Welcome to Witch's Brew. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Emma, and we're the hosts of this Mystic Pod.
Welcome back.
Oh, hello, hello. We're finally starting this episode.
Yeah, finally. Oh my god. It is
It's been a wild technology fiasco.
It's been about 55 minutes for Emma and I that we've just spent trying to get our microphones and our audio and our technology to work.
So gotta love it. We just love it. We love technology.
Yeah. But that's how much we love you.
Yes, we are willing to push through and spend as much time as we need to try to figure it out.
Exactly.
Exactly. But, yeah, I wish I could see your face, but I'm glad
that I know.
To record with the voice call.
I know. We're in a little bit of a different setup, but usually I'm like jumping back between your face and my notes anyway.
Yeah, same. So honestly, same.
Just give me the opportunity to not be distracted by your beautiful face.
And you too, honestly. I mean, we got to see each other for a little bit, which was nice while we were trying to figure things out. But we're here. So how are you? How's it been?
I'm good. I feel like time is going by at triple speed.
Yes.
For some reason right now.
I agree with you. It has.
The year is going by really fast. I can't believe it's almost March.
I know.
I feel like nothing has changed because I literally feel like we were just recording yesterday. Like,
I know.
How fast things are going. So.
I mean, on the bright side, the weather has been amazing. So it feels like spring's coming for sure.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of people in Texas and other parts of the world that are getting hit by massive amounts of snow. And we're out here like, wow, it's such a mild, winter.
My God. Yeah. I mean, we're out of the negative, but it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, and I think, did you get hit with a lot of snow? Milwaukee did. We didn't
get any. Yeah, Madison got a lot of snow this winter.
We didn't get any.
Like, yeah, it's been crazy, honestly.
I think I've had to brush my car off a few times, but compared to normal, it's been really nice.
Yeah, I mean, working from home, it's nice, like, during those really cold days or, like, when we got a lot of snow, it was nice to not have to go. And about that, but I still went anyway, like during my lunch break and just to wipe the snow off. And like when it was really cold, I would go out and like start my car just to keep running for a few minutes. But
yeah, I mean, people, I think my dad posted on Facebook. He's like, remember people working from home, you have to start your car when it's this cold. You have to drive it around for a little bit. You can't just keep it parked for days and days and
my
days.
My gosh. Oh my God. Yeah, I cannot imagine.
I can't wait. Honestly, like, you got me thinking now, though, like, I can't wait for that, like, first warm car ride of spring.
I know. That's going to be great.
Really nice.
It's coming soon. But, yeah, it's been a pretty uneventful week or however long it's been since we last recorded.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been fine. Just the usual. Trying to think of anything else. Not a lot of updates.
Oh, my God. Thank God I have it sitting next to the bed because I'm so excited to actually show you it. Which sucks because we're not on video right now.
Oh no, I know what you're going to talk about. Is it our wonderful gifts?
It is our wonderful gifts.
We have to video chat again and like, so I can see these.
Oh yeah. I think I can video chat. I can video call you on my phone. So just give me a second. I can do that. Yeah, so for those of you who might not remember or didn't listen to last week's episode, we were able to do a blog post where we featured a bunch of just cool witchy gifts that you could get for Valentine's Day, and one of them was a spell jar from an Etsy store called Hemlock and Rowan, and they decided to send us a spell jar, and Emma, I just got the box, and they sent us so many other goodies. So
I cannot wait to see it. And now we got our video working,
yes,
so I can see you now.
We finally got our video working because I had to show you this. And don't worry.
I need to see it.
We will be posting all of the pictures online.
Yes.
I did, like, a little preview, but I'm going to actually be posting, like, all of these products and, like, their full pictures and everything on our Witch's Brew podcast Instagram. So first and foremost, Emma, first of all, they were all, like, wrapped in black tissue paper with, like, hemp twine, and everything was sealed with, like, a cute little fairy stamp. It was so cute, like a wax stamp.
That is amazing. Oh, I love it.
And then this is our custom. So they asked us what spell jar we wanted, and I was like, just pick whatever one you want. And this is for success and prosperity.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It has this blue wax seal. Yeah. And then it has cloves, it has cinnamon. And then another thing I can't remember, and then these really pretty blue crystals.
I love it. It's so cute in the train and
it's
everything.
It's such a perfect size. I've put it on. Like, it's a perfect size for necklace.
It's amazing.
It's really pretty. And it's, like, not small either. I thought it was going to be kind of small. Like, it's a really decent size.
No, it is. It's amazing. Like, all the stuff in there, like, they packed in there. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
Together. Like, ugh, then, I love it.
Okay, so that was what I was expecting. Everything else was literally just a surprise. It was so nice. So they sent a tiny little mini spell jar.
Oh my god, it's a baby. It's so cute.
It's a little baby, and it's a protection spell jar.
Ooh, we all need protection.
So it has black, black wax. It has obsidian, and then some other stuff that, like, protects you, and it's really cool.
That's amazing.
And this is very also cute. On a cord that you could, like, put under your shirt or something, and, like, no one would notice you're wearing it.
Oh my gosh, a little mystery.
And then, so they also sent, like, this rolled up parchment scroll that basically told you how to use your spell jar and how to do, like, you have to do a whole spell ritual, which I was thinking, we definitely have to save it until we're together.
Definitely.
So you're supposed to have, like, a really positive intent and then light a candle. And they aren't even selling these yet, but they sent us one. It's a special anointed candle that's covered in the same wax that our spell jar is. And then it has gold leaf rubbed on it. And you're supposed to, it's like infused with oils, and you're supposed to light it, and like you're supposed to burn it all the way down and then put your spell jar on your windowsill under the moon, like, to do your spell. And then
we have to have a spell night.
Oh,
honestly,
my God. We're gonna have a spell night. We'll record the whole thing. It'll be so much fun. And then
amazing.
Very last thing they sent is incense, which they hand make. It's a little cone incense. And this one has lavender in it that they grow in their backyard. Like, they grow in their own personal
garden. Are you serious? That is amazing.
So, I was just, like, so excited. And so,
that's
amazing.
It was
just so cool.
Well, thank you so much, Hemlock and Rowan. Like, we appreciate it so much. Yes. And it's beautiful. And also, go check them out because, I mean, this stuff is gorgeous. I can't imagine, like, the extent of what they create. It's got to be so fun.
It's really cool. They have, like, special, like, candles with crystals and herbs that you can burn.
I love it.
It's really, it's just so cool, and I'm just so excited about it.
Well, that's an exciting thing that happened.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. That was exciting. We actually had something happen this week.
We love it so much.
Yes. Well, I feel like this is a good topic because we got the spell jar. It's actually really relevant because, in case you didn't know or somehow missed the title, this episode is going to be all about witches and witchcraft.
Yes, it is. I'm very excited.
Me too.
Also, oh my God, I know what I was going to say. I forgot that I was going to talk. Before we get into this, sorry, and I'm not trying to get a tangent or anything.
Okay.
But I know that last time, our last episode, the multiverse stories, we got on, like, a long tangent about the TikTok thing with the shifting and everything.
Yeah.
And all the Harry Potter stuff. And so, of course, I was, like, wanted to, like, do a little more research on that and just look at what people were doing. And I just was going down a rabbit hole, and it was the most entertaining, but also, like, really weird. I don't know if you checked out a lot of the shifting stuff.
It's weird. Well, when it's on TikTok, it's like a weird combination of people who actually want to, like, It's like a lot of the videos that blow up are people just like doing point of view videos where like
yeah.
they want to make where you it's feel like, really like weird. You're with Draco and or like imagine.
Yeah.
You're, and it's just like they're just funny to watch though.
I know, and that's what I was saying. Like, we were talking about that. I hadn't really seen a lot, and I, like, wanted to, and, I mean, I gotta give people, like, props for the creativity, but it was just so, like, kind of cringy just because we talked about how our we have, like, a different, like, with the Harry Potter fandom, we have, like, a different, we grew up with it in a different way, so, like, it's kind of weird.
It's definitely interesting, especially that it's about Draco.
I know, which I don't know if you knew about this, but I also found out that the actor who plays Draco Malfoy, Tom Felton, he, like, found out about this, like, that, this, like, craze or whatever. I don't know if you, like, he found out about, like, what's been going on TikTok with, like, the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
And it was honestly so funny, like, I, like, watching his reaction to some of these. It's just crazy. I mean, he is just, like, I couldn't imagine if, like, that was something that you, like, saw with yourself involved. Like, I think that'd be kind of awkward.
Can you imagine being a celebrity and knowing that people like
yeah.
that you were like someone's ultimate crush? Like that's just weird.
Just weird. But I love Tom Felton. He just seems like a really funny, like chill guy. So it was like very entertaining to watch him like just kind of laugh and yeah. But but yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I know we talked about that last time, and I was like, oh my god, I actually like just was so curious and had to like. Witness some of the stuff and it's very yes. strange, but
it's definitely interesting. If you I honestly just go on a deep TikTok dive and you'll be interested yeah. for hours because you could go
literally
you could look at videos on the multiverse, you could look at people waking up in parallel universes, you could find ghost stories, you can find creepy it's just like endless. So
it's very endless. But yes, creepy. And now we talked about our witchcraft, our spell jars, so I think that's a good segue into our lovely episode this week.
Yes, all about witches.
Witches!
And as always, this is becoming a trend, but I took the ancient history of witchcraft, and Emma took more of, like, the modern, like, what witchcraft has become and different perceptions of it. So, yes. I'm going to quickly turn my video off here and just go to voice because I'm going to put you down.
Sounds good. That sounded kind of scary.
I'm going to put you down. I'm going to put you down. Go to voice. All right.
Go to voice.
Nothing changed for you guys, but Emma can't see me anymore.
I can still hear you. That's all that matters.
I can still see you.
You can?
Yeah.
You're going to get a really bad angle because I'm looking at my notes.
Love it. That's why I turned you off, because you were just going to look at my ceiling.
Maybe I should turn mine off, too.
No, you are so cute.
Do you want to see me?
No, it's okay. It's okay. So, yeah, we are going to be talking about witches in this episode. I think if you're ready, I'm just going to jump right into my section, Emma.
All right. Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. So, like I said, I did the history of witchcraft, and for most of, I think, the people that were raised in America, just like Emma and I, my knowledge of the history of witchcraft basically goes back to, like, the Salem witch trials, and that's it. And I know that there's more than that, but, like,
mm-hmm.
what I know of, it's really only, it starts at the Salem witch trials and kind of grows from there.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting, like, because I feel like in school, you know, we learn. It's like you don't really realize until you're like older, like this, it was so limited that what they taught us, which is like it was a lot, like a lot of things that we learned in school, but
right
with witches too, just like one of those like topics that we just didn't know, like they didn't give us a good education on it,
right? And of all the things we've talked about, witches and witchcraft and just the whole idea of it just has such a warped perception in pop culture and in religion. And we were talking about this before the episode, we say this every time, but with witchcraft there was truly a million different like roads and topics we could have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was planning on talking a lot about the witch trials, witch hunts, stuff like that. But the more I researched into all of that, I quickly realized that all of that, anytime a civilization decides that there's a witch among them or goes on a witch hunt or has legends about witches, it's always negative. It's always like fear-based or to create like a scapegoat for something bad happening in the town or culture. And it's not representative of like what true witchcraft would be at all. So I'm actually going to be doing the opposite approach this episode at least. And I kind of just, I looked back into as many ancient religions and cultures as I could to find some traces of like normal common day, what we would call witchcraft. And it was very interesting.
I'm so excited for this because I don't know a lot about like different cultures and I cannot wait.
It was very interesting, and I went, like I said, I went on like a spree, and I'm really just going to be scratching the surface of the stuff I'm covering today. I used a lot of sources. I'm going to go through them very quickly.
I see them. Oh my God.
I know. It was crazy. I had so many things. Okay. So I have an article from Bustle. How long have witches existed? These ancient myths about witches will give you nightmares. I have an article from Muse. I have an article from Ancient EU on Egyptian burial. I have an article from the Moscow Times on practical magic in Russia. I have an SHE Stanford, I don't know why I said technical article. It was like an interview from Stanford. Okay. And then a lot of Wikipedia pages, a Wikipedia page on paganism, a Wikipedia page on Slavs, a Wikipedia page on folklore in Russia, ancient Celtic religion, and a lot of other things. And then, hoodoo and Louisiana voodoo. So
the
entire roundup of my sources. Thanks for coming to my TED talk.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to start out with, because it really kind of just wraps up what I was saying before with the idea that all of the trials and the witch huntings that have happened in history don't actually revolve around like real witchcraft. It's always like the persecution of innocent women.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview that I found from Stanford was on a researcher named Laura Stokes, who has spent years researching folklore and witchcraft in history. And she says that witchcraft, when broadly defined, is a concept which appears in nearly every human society. And you'll see it come up. And what she means by that is that there's witchcraft in forms of actual practice, and then there's witchcraft in forms of just blaming and victimizing women and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't even think about it that way, but witchcraft is kind of present in so many cultures, in every culture. And when we start to go through the ancient cultures, you'll really start to see that. And it's really important to understand that people are still persecuted for being witches today in parts of the world, and they're usually persecuted with extreme violence and can be killed or ostracized from their families in different parts of the world. And it's just incredibly important to understand as we go forward with this episode, because in our Western culture, there are a lot of people who have the privilege now to practice and celebrate witchcraft openly. We can, you and I can order spell jars online and like talk about them in our podcast, but even something like that could be condemned in a place where witchcraft is still persecuted. So, just keep that in mind, because while we talk about this stuff, even though people were persecuted for it all throughout history, people are still persecuted for it. It's not behind us. And, part of the reason that is, Laura goes on to explain, and she makes a really important distinction that I wanted to talk about, because this is really where I decided to change my research, was that there's a really important distinction between diabolical witchcraft and non-diabolical witchcraft. So diabolical witchcraft is the lie that witches are evil demons with ill intent, and mm-hmm. the ever-present phenomenon of hunting and persecuting women and witches, really stems from this diabolical witchcraft. And true witchcraft stems from ancient practices of peace and connection to nature and soul and body that weren't, and true witchcraft, if we're gonna call it that, was, you know, most of these practices you'll see as we get into them weren't called witchcraft or weren't seen mm-hmm. as witches or anything like that. They were just doing a lot of like natural rituals and things that in modern times we would be like, oh yeah, that's really witchy. So yeah. And just as a reminder, as we get into this too, I just thought it was really interesting how it's difficult to find information on ancient witches because history is made by the people who write it, and a lot of people mm-hmm. were writing the history in the times that all of these ancient things were happening and ancient witchcraft was happening were with the church and wildly against anything against Christianity. And it's hard to find things, which is what I'm going to get into now, because like I said, I didn't want to talk about diabolical witchcraft in this episode. I really wanted to talk about paganism, first of all, as an idea, because I mean, I'm not sure if you came up, like, if you came upon paganism in your research, Emma.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah, for sure.
But it's, I mean, paganism is such a, like witchcraft, paganism is a kind of broad term
mm-hmm.
that can mean a bunch of different things and a bunch of different practicing witches in the modern world. And something I didn't realize until I started doing my research was that the term pagan wasn't actually created. It wasn't meant to stand for a religion. It was actually just a term created by Christians around 2,000 years ago in early Christianity, in 4th century Rome, it was a term. A pagan was simply someone who followed a polytheistic religion and didn't follow Christianity.
Interesting.
So, if you've ever heard of someone being referred to as a heathen, mm-hmm. or someone who goes against, someone who believes in multiple gods, someone who believes in a false prophet, anything like that, basically, pagan is a similar term to that.
Okay.
And
I feel like I've heard that before. I mean, I didn't know, obviously, I think, you know, like, where I've heard it were like, shows or stuff like that, where obviously it's not necessarily, like, a, not necessarily accurate, but just not a good representation. I'm not saying yeah. that's a good job, but, like, I remember hearing that before in, like, shows that I watched about, like, paganism and how that started. Yeah, I guess I didn't know the, like, the whole extent to it, but...
Yeah, and now... So, basically, when it started, pagan wasn't a good term. It wasn't something, like, you'd want to be called. Mm-hmm. It was just someone who went against the church and was not a Christian. And people who practice modern paganism or neo-paganism today are actually practicing what's basically a reconstruction of just a combination of a ton of different ancient religions from Rome, Greece, Slavic religion, Gaelic religion, Celtic, all of these different places. So modern paganism, or people who practice modern witches and modern witchcraft and modern witches, are generally practicing a mishmash of a bunch of different ancient religions, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that is.
So these ancient civilizations and cultures have been a lot of traditions, like I mentioned before, like the Rome and Greece and Slavic religion have been preserved through modern paganism. And there are a lot of examples. I'm going to go back through some of the actual ancient religions that modern paganism is based off of. But first, I just wanted to share, because this is one of the articles I came across, how these ancient, like, civilizations and cultures have been preserved through modern paganism. It's really mm-hmm. interesting. So, for example, Russia is one country that has a really strong history and background in folklore, and they their practices and religions are really inspired by the Slavic people of about 2,000 years ago, I think. And the Slavic tradition that has kind of become like new paganism has really stuck in Russia's roots, and they've kind of combined different elements of different kind of like ancient cultures and Russian folklore to kind of make their own unique Russian witchcraft, which I think is so interesting. And modern paganism in Russia is a symbol of pride for the ancient practices that outlasted the onset of Christianity throughout the years. And modern witches in Russia practice everything from tarot reading to numerology and doing incantations and things like that. And it's all based off of their ancient folklore and Slavic religion. And I just think that's so interesting.
I love it. I love how that's sort of like, you know, people over the years and from the ancient times have, you know, kept practices and also like created kind of their own and combined a lot of it. And I just think that's so cool how it's like still thriving and just changing with each like decade or, you know, century over time.
Yeah, it's absolutely, I mean, we're all just, I feel like we've said this before, but all we're doing is borrowing from other people. Mm-hmm. It's like nothing is new. We're kind of just borrowing and growing off of things. And it's just
learning from it. Yeah, and learning from it and kind of taking it and making it your own, but then also like keeping the roots within it. Just so cool to see.
Yeah. And this is where I really, so, okay, quick disclaimer. There were literally so many ancient religions that I could have like gone into and explored and explained. Because a lot of ancient religions have very, very witch-like, in the modern sense, practices. But I just found a few that I wanted to go over that are some of the combinations of, these are some of the most, taken from, like, ancient religions.
Okay.
So, when it comes to modern paganism, first of all, we have ancient Egypt, which if you know anything about the mystic or religion or anything like that, Egypt is always going to pop up in the picture.
Yes.
They had, so like I said, kind of in the beginning, while these practices wouldn't have been called witchcraft, their practices are very like close to what we would call it now, like witchcraft. And one of the biggest things that ancient Egyptians did in their religion was that they practiced, they had special burying rituals and rites and meaningful ceremonies for the dead. And they started doing these rituals and ceremonies as early as 8,000 years ago.
Wow.
Which just blows my mind, because I mean, I'm not a scientist and I don't know anything about anything. Like 8,000 years ago, I didn't even know like humans were like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm so bad at timelines. So 8,000 years just seems so incredible to me.
Same.
And, their burial rites changed over time as they became bigger as a civilization, and they started to bury the body with belongings. And all of this was due to the fact that they had this very incredibly rich like folklore and legend and belief about the afterlife. And they believed that they started mummifying the dead over 5,000 years ago, because their belief was that to gain access to the afterlife, a physical body has to be present on the earth. And they would cover the body in spices and preserve it with different things. And they would bury them with their physical weapons so that they would have something to bring with them into the afterlife. And if they didn't do their ceremonies just right, it wouldn't work. And obviously, again, they didn't call it witchcraft, but it just seems so similar. It's very, Egypt was just a very ritualistic.
That's what I was thinking,
They had, like, ceremonies for everything.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see the reflection of that in modern paganism.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, like, Egypt is on my bucket list because Egypt, ancient Egypt, interests me probably more than anything else in the whole world.
I mean, it's crazy. There's so much there and so many things to even, like, to think about, like, the rich history. Like, yeah, I agree. It's very mystifying.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So just add that to the list of places we're going to visit for Witch's Brew.
Yes, our travel list. And then
we're going to fast forward here into the future. But don't worry, we're not going too far into the future because this is still 2,000 years ago. But
getting closer.
Yes, getting closer. I wanted to also talk about ancient Celtic religion because Celtic paganism is one of, like, the Celtic religion, the ancient Celtic religion, was started by the Iron Age people, an Iron Age group of Western European people called the Celts, about 2,000 years ago. And the Celts, their religion is widely the practices are widely used and seen in modern paganism. And I wanted to talk about some of the stuff because it was really interesting. First of all, very little is known about the Celts and their religion because almost all of the information we have was written by biased, hostile Romans who didn't like them. So all of the information is, like, super biased. And
yeah.
The information that we have on the Celts is based on, like, archaeological evidence more than anything.
Okay.
But evidence suggests that Celts made offerings to their gods throughout the landscape, both natural and domestic, much like modern witches in paganism. They worshipped in temples and shrines, but they also worshipped in nature, including several parts of the natural world that they thought to be sacred. So they saw many things in nature as sacred. They offered things to their gods, things that they made, things that they found in nature. And it was also a very brutal civilization. So don't get me wrong on that, because I don't have time to get into it. But they also participated in headhunting, which is a practice of, like, cutting someone's head off in battle and keeping it, like, on your horse and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I don't want to, like, make it seem like they were all just, like, loving and peaceful. But I just wanted to go over these two ancient cultures because just like these two, all of the other ancient religions, the Slavic religion and so many others – I saved a list of things that I wanted to go over. There are literally so many religions that I didn't get to cover. There was the ancient Semitic religion, the ancient Iranian religion, the Mesopotamian religion, and so much more. And they all have super similar things where you can see, like, wow, that's totally used today in modern witchcraft. And it's just so cool that all of these things are, like, modern witchcraft is kind of just, like, a jumble of a bunch of different ancient beliefs and practices.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think with the Celtic, that I think I've heard the most about Celtic stuff, like, religion and the witchcraft. Because isn't that, like, Celtic druids, is that a part of that? Because I always hear that term, like, druids.
Yeah, so when I was looking at stuff, a druid, I don't know. I think it was, like, a druid could go either way.
Okay.
Where sometimes it could be, like, a term where it's, like, a diabolical witch that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
But in some other cases, a druid is just, like, a healer, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. But, yeah, it depends on, like, which lens you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the cultures will have, like, words for witches that are not, like, that are just, like, made up.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
No, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, I really didn't know anything about the Celtic religion, so that was interesting to read up on.
Yeah.
And then the very last one that I wanted to do, because I've always been so interested in it. My family is in love with New Orleans, and we've gone a lot of times.
I want to go so badly. Another place we have to go.
I know. I love the South. I love Louisiana, and
I've never been.
We, It's okay. Well, we're gonna have to make a road trip because this is actually like the witchiest city ever,
and we have to go.
But of course, you can't go to New Orleans without thinking about voodoo.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of explore that because the way that voodoo came together is a very similar process as the way that like modern paganism came together. Unfortunately, voodoo obviously has like a far more negative roots because it's all based on people being like ripped away from their actual African culture and trying to hold on to that as they came to America. So just like paganism is kind of like a broad term for like a big mix of religions. The term for like the great overarching like group of different African religions is called African diaspora religions. I hope I said that right.
That sounds right.
African diaspora religions are a number of related religions that developed in the Americas in various nations of the Caribbean, Latin America, and the southern United States. They derived from traditional African religions with some influence from other religious traditions, notably Christianity, obviously during slavery. So basically, people were taken, like African people were taken from their cultures and then brought to the Americas. And what would happen is that their religion and their backgrounds would kind of start to take on an American kind of religion as well. So because obviously they're living on plantations with Christian families and all of this stuff. So African-American religions tend to be or tend to include ancestor worship far more than Christianity. That would be like the African part. Ancestral lines and lineage is very important. They tend to celebrate a central deity, just like Christianity. And then they also tend to have various divine spirits. And what's interesting is the combination of ancient African religious practices with the practices of the American South. So that's what really makes voodoo and hoodoo and all of this stuff in Louisiana and New Orleans interesting and unique, because it's this practice and this kind of like combination of culture that really doesn't exist anywhere else. And though it didn't come about for good reasons, it was used as like a liberation technique and something for slaves to hold on to their culture and obviously keep their culture, because there are still practicing African Americans who do hoodoo and different forms of voodoo in the South. So that's really incredible. I'm going to talk about just a few of the different types. So just like paganism, there's literally a million different types of like voodoo. There's I couldn't even find, there isn't really one that's called voodoo. They all have different like specifications. Okay. So the first one that I wanted to talk about is hoodoo, with an H. Hoodoo was first practiced in secret by American slaves, and it was a combination of religious and indigenous traditional medicine and Judeo-Christian beliefs and folklore. So it was a lot of like natural healing, spiritual healing, witchcraft like that, with kind of like Christian beliefs and folklore mixed into it. And the purpose of hoodoo is to allow people to connect with and utilize spiritual forces to improve their lives through spiritual healing. Just like basically everything we've talked about, like the dream incubation, and all of that kind of stuff. It's a different form of spiritual healing. And it tends to involve spiritual meditation. It can involve taking certain potions and herb making and other spiritual practices. And you can see evidence of hoodoo in typical Southern American life all over the place. And it's really cool because there are a lot of things in Southern American life that they have that they wouldn't have without hoodoo. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of bottle trees.
No, I haven't.
But if you saw a picture of one, you'd be like, oh yeah, I've seen that. People put like glass bottles either on the branches of their trees, or they like tie glass bottles and hang them to their trees.
Oh, okay.
And this stems from a hoodoo practice that has to do with like capturing souls. Okay. And it stuck around, and now like a ton of people in Southern America do this, like regardless of if they practice hoodoo mm-hmm. or not. It's just like a decoration. Yeah. Now, and it's interesting that the culture has really like combined there, which I thought was really interesting. And I didn't fully want to dive into the other forms of voodoo just because I want you to get some time into it. Obviously, I feel like I've been talking for so long.
No, I love all of this. Oh my gosh.
Well, the other forms of, and these are not comprehensive. I just, the other two that I like kind of researched were Haitian voodoo. And I don't know if it's pronounced voodoo because it's spelled voodoo.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And then Louisiana voodoo. So Haitian voodoo is exactly what it sounds like. It's a mix of African practices. It's a mix of African beliefs practiced in Haiti after a different kind of colonization there. And then, and that was in, I believe Haitian voodoo started around 1600s. And then Louisiana voodoo was another form of the Afro-American religion that formed in slavery, or because of slavery. And it's really interesting to see where they're all spread out in New Orleans. And yeah, it's just like modern paganism, we still have roots of ancient religion because of that. You know, there are a lot of people who still have connections to their African roots because of voodoo and Afro-American religions. So
that's really interesting. Cool. That is, just to see, again, with all of these, how they just connect and how they're with each, you know, next century or decade or whatever, like I said before, like, just how it's adapted and changed and also stayed the same. And I know for me, I didn't know, I mean, I think, I'm trying to think of when I found out about hoodoo, because I always, you know, I always hear, like, voodoo.
I think the first time I heard hoodoo was in The Skeleton Key.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe that was for me too, honestly.
And unfortunately, like with most movies, they made it like this really dark, evil thing.
I know. Yeah.
When in reality, voodoo and hoodoo is not like evil.
Yeah.
It can be used to do like bad things if you want to.
But that's with anything, yeah.
Evil.
It can be anything can be switched to that.
And I wanted to point out, just before we get into your section, that while there's a very clear distinction between paganism and neo-paganism and modern paganism, stuff like that, versus African diaspora religions. So specifically with the point I'm trying to make is with paganism and modern paganism and modern witchcraft, if you're looking at it from a modern paganism lens, typically anyone can do it. Anyone can be a witch. Anyone can be a part of the like practices and the beliefs. Mm-hmm. With voodoo and hoodoo, almost always it's very like lineage based and you have to be a part of an ancestral line. So just throwing it out there, it's not something like voodoo and hoodoo and stuff like that. You can't just decide you're going to like do voodoo now. So just a disclaimer on that. Like paganism is much more like a set of, I don't know how to describe. It's hard to like describe the difference. Hey, like voodoo and hoodoo particularly believe very strongly that you have to be in the lineage and be from these cultures. Mm-hmm. So if you hear of someone like messing with voodoo and like it not going well, that's probably why.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's another thing you can look up on TikTok is people being dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Different witchcraft stuff.
I can imagine. Yep.
But yeah, that's basically, that's what I wanted to cover in my section. And
I love it.
I know I just scratched the surface, but mm-hmm. that was our flash from the past. And yay. Now you're going to bring us into the future.
Yeah. Well, I love,
or the modern times, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I'll explain a little bit, like with my research, I kind of like adapted and changed a few things. The direction I was going in, but
sure.
I loved your section so much, and it's just so interesting, and I can't wait to just explore more, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
So I guess I will just kind of list my sources at the start, because I feel like I always forget, and then I get through it.
Yeah, so, gotta get those sources.
So I have just a few here, and I had an article from HowStuffWorks.com on witchcraft. I have an article from Allure. And it was Real Life Witches and Myths and Misconceptions. And then I had an article from Girl Boss, and which talked about another one about witches talking about stereotypes, and which I'm really excited to get to that section of my research.
I'm very excited. And also, can I just say, wow, there's a difference between the way our brains work, because you listed off 3 sources and I'm like, here's 20 sources of all of the articles I read. I'm like, oh my god.
I know. I remember like when you read them up, I was like, wow, I literally have 3, but it's okay.
I'm always so impressed when I look at your sources. I was like, oh my god, Emma got all of this content and she only has 3 sources. Like, I think you're a witch. I think you create content. You're magical.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I feel like we need to join a coven or something. Like, I want to just become a full-fledged witch. I think that should be our goal, honestly.
We definitely should. I wonder if there are covens that we can join. Like,
there have got to be. I'm sure.
Definitely in Madison. Probably not Appleton, because, you know.
Yeah, which maybe. I mean, you never know. Here. But Madison for sure. Yeah, there's got to be a lot of covens here. So we'll have to do some research.
We'll join a coven. We'll be little baby witches.
Yeah, it'd be so fun.
Beginning witches.
Yes.
The thing about witchcraft, I know we're getting on a tangent here and we have to get going.
No, that's okay.
The thing about it is, like, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. It is.
The part of me that's like not religious is like, dude, you left religion. Like, why do you want to go back to something like that? But then at the same time, it's like, but it's fun stuff. It's right? not bad stuff. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, well, it's not going to church for now. Or it's like,
no. And it's not like such a
nature and just like learning to love, like, what's around you and what you have, and giving thanks for all of that and creating what you want. And I don't know, it's a lot of work, but it sounds like it would be so worth it to actually do it and learn it.
No, I agree. I think so too. And just from doing my research, like and just learning all this stuff, it's making me want to join more and more, because even the articles with the modern witches, like, it just seems like such a cool experience just to be with a bunch of people that have similar interests, and it's just, so fun.
Well, and I'm someone who, like, even if I don't want to get, like, even if I'm not someone who will join something, like, fully like that and be participant in it, like, all the way, I love some of the ideas. Like, I love taking some of those ideas and be like, okay, well, I can integrate, like, meditation into my day.
Yeah.
Or just do little things here and there where I don't feel like I have to. If anything feels like homework, I just won't do it. Yeah. So.
No, I agree. Well, I'm just going to dive in then, I guess.
Yes, I'm so excited. Tell us all about what we're going to be expecting if we're going to join. please explain your information as if we are joining.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes, I will. I'll give all the details.
Okay.
But I just want to start off saying that there were so many different avenues I could have gone down for this. And like with your research as well, like, such a deep, broad topic. So I barely even like touched the surface. And obviously we're going to be doing more witchy episodes coming up, so we'll have a lot of time to elaborate on more topics, but it was fun to kind of just do a little bit and learn a lot, but I just kind of focused on one certain aspect of witchcraft, so I definitely want to make it very clear at the start that when I'm talking about my research, I'm not trying to generalize or make it seem like it just witchcraft is just one thing, because as with Jordan, your research, there are so many different cultures and a lot of different practices, and there's not like a single type of witchcraft out there. Right. So definitely want to make that clear that I'm just going to be focusing on one small little aspect of this huge world of witchcraft. So I specifically am going to be talking about Wicca and kind of more Wiccan practices, just because I found a lot on that and I was just immediately drawn in. So I just kind of wanted to stay on that topic and instead of trying to like fit all this stuff in and not have a lot of time to elaborate on it. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm going to be doing. And also, like I said before, the kind of stereotypes and stigma around witchcraft, I got into that a little more because I think it's really important for people just to kind of see there's more to it and than what we see on the big screen and in literature. And I think a lot of people have a sort of picture of what a witch is, and it's not the reality. So it's just very eye-opening to see that there's more to it, and it's this whole other world that a lot of people don't know. So, yeah, that'd be kind of fun to talk about that, too.
Yay! Well, I'm so excited to get into it.
Yes! So I guess I'll start off with just a few general, within the Wiccan realm, a few general ideals about the practices of the witchcraft that they do and the ways in which they practice it. So to start off with, the witches within a coven practice together in a sort of group, or if they are by themselves, it's like solitary. So there are kind of two types of practices and how they do it. It's either group or by yourself, which is with a lot of things. So there's different ways that you can do that. And also another thing is that witchcraft can be practiced by both women and men. And what I found that was interesting was that male witches are not called warlocks, which we see a lot in pop culture. And the term actually means oathbreaker and refers to those who betrayed other witches. So it does not mean a male witch. Yeah.
So, I did not know that at all.
I know. I mean, just growing up and being exposed to different things in pop culture, you like the term warlock is just thrown around a lot. And yeah. I always thought it was, you know, male witch and, you know, had to do with that. But
it's I definitely have thought about that when I make our Instagram posts. I'm always like, can I say witches and have it be gender inclusive? Because we don't know if it is or not.
But, I know.
I mean, it's good to know that it is, I guess.
I know. And it's very interesting, too. And like going back to how witchcraft, you know, is usually associated with women, just because, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, oppression and terrible things that happened to women in the past. So not right. trying to take it away from that, but it is, I mean, I guess in the modern age too, it's more, open to anyone. Anyone can practice it. And
right.
no matter what gender you are, what you identify as. So I think that's really cool. Well,
and that's why I think it's really important for people to remember whether they practice it or not, or to know. Not even to remember, because I didn't know until I learned, but it's like, it's so important to realize that the witches, I use in air quotes, that were prosecuted mm-hmm. throughout history were innocent women
yeah.
who were being just victim, they were being prosecuted for no reason, and this was the only thing they could pin on them, and
yeah.
actual witchcraft is not that at all, so
no, definitely
that witchcraft not. Was the persecution of women, and we definitely want to get into it and talk about it because it's horrific
mm-hmm.
and super important to know. But this witchcraft, actual witchcraft, that's from, you know, pagan and ancient religions,
mm-hmm.
they are totally, obviously, the religions weren't gender specific, so
no,
it definitely makes
open.
Sense that anyone should be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it. And another huge thing about witchcraft is that, specifically with Wicca and Wiccan, is that you don't need a quote-unquote gift to be a witch, and it just takes a bunch of training, as with a lot of things in life, and, you know, you can approach it in any way you want, and you don't have to have this, you know, predisposed, I don't know, lineage. Like, I know you talked about like the voodoo and stuff, it that involves like a lot of lineage, like you said, in voodoo and hoodoo, but with Wiccan practices, it's not that. You don't have to have a certain gift or have to come from a family with lots of gifts. So that's another aspect. And also, when a new member is welcomed into a coven, there's usually a sort of initiation ceremony, and specifically this article I looked at talked about three different phases that are looking to become, you know, a full-fledged witch are go through to become that. And so the first one is typically the student or witch, so you start off as that, and then you kind of graduate onto a practitioner or priest or priestess, and then the last phase would be a teacher or high priest or priestess.
Okay, well, so we definitely have to join a coven now, because all I want to be is a high priestess now.
I know. So, and, you know, covens have their own rules, so, and procedures. So these, you know, phases and the names of the phases aren't necessarily the same across, even within Wiccan practices, it's not always the same. But that's just kind of an example of what one could be, those kind of three distinct phases and the names. But sure. It just, everyone has their own set of rules, different covens across, you know, the world. So it could look a little differently, but typically there's a sort of initiation ceremony to get into the coven. So yay. And then, yeah, after you complete the phases, you become a full-on witch and you're able to practice the craft and perform and participate in rituals. And so Wicca, now circling back to that, Wicca actually started, it was established in the 1940s and 50s by Gerald Gardner, and it is a modern pagan religion that worships the earth and nature. And another, this is, I just love doing this research, because a lot of these things that I'm reading, it's like just eye-opening, because it's crazy how we are, these things are just drilled into our brains, these beliefs, and that witches are evil or whatever, and now just learning that it's just total opposite is always so interesting. And one specifically is that witches in Wicca do not believe in the devil or the Christian idea of hell, and that's such a big association of witches. Everyone's like, oh, they worship the devil, that's like what they do in rituals, and that's like the opposite, like the total opposite. And I think a lot of people are just, you know, they're like, yep, they're evil right away. That word witch is just evil. So, and it's not the case at all.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Which is, it's just the tactic of trying to make anyone who doesn't believe in your religion the other.
Mm-hmm.
So witches are evil, yeah, and they worship the devil. And it's like, they don't even believe in the devil. They don't believe that it's a thing that they can worship.
Yeah. It's just crazy.
I just don't, it's just funny. It's not funny. It's just, it's crazy how, like, persecuted and, like, it's just funny how, like, a group of people who are mainly about just trying to keep to nature's way and just, you know, be respectful of natural things and not be wasteful and be good people. I just don't, it's just crazy how that becomes evil.
Right? I mean, I know, like, with everything, there's always, I mean, people are capable of anything, and within witchcraft, obviously, there's, like, there can be, like, you know, more negative, or, like, you know, there can be different aspects that are a little more intense than other things, but, you know, like, the general idea is that it's not supposed to be that at all, and
right,
the Wiccan,
but the funny thing is, you could also make a million horror movies about serial killers who are religious and use God as the reason why they kill people, because God told them to.
True.
So it's like, there are always going to be crazy people who use religion and a certain belief system that isn't inherently bad, and they do something terrible, and then it's, oh my God. And then, you know, the
endless 80s, circle,
satanic panic, and it's just crazy how fear can make something blow up so quickly, and
I know,
people have no idea what it actually is.
That's just, yeah, that's just the power of the media and pop culture, and, you know, it's just so easy. People's minds are easily manipulated, and to believing something,
the media, the true devil.
Yes. Exactly. We're getting crazy here.
Oh,
God.
We sound like the news. We sound like, no. Oh, my God.
No, so, like I'm saying, it's totally the opposite. I mean, the Wiccan belief is that when witches become one with the deities through rituals, they become in tune with the overall life force or cosmic energy around them, and it allows the witches to control that energy and direct it for personal change through magic. So it's a lot more about sort of melding your physical and spiritual self, and witches are, you know, able to channel that innate energy in their practices, and they can also harness it from the earth and the sky, and it kind of centers around the belief that all matter has its own energy, so the witches are able to raise that and direct it to fulfill intentions. So it's kind of all about what's inside of you and what you are manifesting.
I just love that so much.
Yeah, and, like, what you want to get out of it, and
yeah.
You feel it within you, and you're able to... It's all about personal, but then, you know, in the coven, you kind of feed off of each other, and you are, you know, together practicing witchcraft and rituals, but it's all about the innate energy that you hold and how powerful it can be. So
I feel like I relate to the, or not relate to it, but like I feel like it just makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything we cover on the podcast that makes sense or seems like a viable explanation or just like seems like, yeah, that like resonates always has to do with like energy.
I know.
It always comes back to energy. Like that is the thing that I think we're going to, like, learn more about as we become smarter and realize that, like, energy is everything. Like, it just seems like it, no matter what religion, it almost always comes back to that with, like, Buddhism and,
mm-hmm.
and just stuff like that. It's always energy.
It's very powerful. Yeah, for sure.
We should just change the podcast to Energy Brew.
All the energy. We're going to brew the energies. Hey, we could.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
It doesn't. But, you know, we can always have little, like, catchphrases or something like that. Yeah. Okay, so next I wanted to touch on a few tools and accessories within witchcraft that are used in Wiccan rituals and just Wiccan practices. So to start off, there are a few types of knives that are used, one being the, I don't know if it's pronounced a thame or a tame, it's A-T-H-A-M-E, so I'm not entirely sure.
A thame? I don't know.
A tame. And this is a double-edged knife, and it's used to mark edges of circles, to stir the salt and water used to make the circle sacred, and it's also used to carve symbols or words into candles. And something really cool about this knife is that the owner of it, like, of this certain knife, if you have, like, your own, usually marks the handle or the blade with his or her witchcraft name and stores it in a white container or cloth. Which,
girl, so cool. I want one.
I know, it'd be so fun to kind of, you know, just, you have your own, it's your own personal tool and you make it yours, and we just need to get witchcraft names too.
Yeah,
like that needs to happen.
Part of me literally doesn't, like, the funny thing about it is I don't care if it works at all, because like half of me literally just wants to do all of this because it sounds like a fun time.
I know.
Like, it just sounds fun.
It does.
It sounds fun to do witchy things. Like, I want to feel like a child when I was out in the backyard, like, making potions out of mud and shit.
I know. Oh my god, I did the same
thing. And I like it a lot. I don't care if it works. I really don't.
It just, you know, it's all about the experience.
If it calms me and keeps me occupied.
There you go.
If I get to have a cool fucking knife with my name on it, with my witch name.
Yes, that's all
we need to look into that.
Yeah, we do.
A witch name.
We do. But
how long do you think you have to be in a coven to get a witch name?
I don't know, that's a good question.
Do you have to, like, sign a 6-month commitment?
Maybe, or some kind of, I don't know, maybe it just comes naturally. It might just come naturally, honestly.
Can you imagine, instead of, like, this intense ceremony, they just, like, come at you with a contract, and they're like, sign here, here, and here.
Yeah, like, you need to sign in blood. Honestly, I would
all be right, down. I'm sorry, I'll stop cutting you off.
I would be down to sign in blood.
Oh my god, yeah, you would be down to sign in blood because you literally love needles.
Yes.
You, like, want it. I would be shaking in the corner because I hate getting poked with needles. I hate it.
Hey, it would be, it's all about the experience. You have to, maybe we can, like, it would be like a calm environment.
I can get a tattoo and yeah. Then we can take the blood from my tattoo because that doesn't bother
me. That's true. You know what, that could work. We can make it work.
Yeah,
with
and
our
then I can
knives.
Get like a cool witchy tattoo. Okay, this is a tangent. I'm gonna start thinking of tattoos now.
Yes, oh my god, you have to make
tell me more.
Yes. All right, well, there's another knife that's used within the practices, and it's called a bolin or bolin, and
bolin.
Yes.
Bowling, bowling, bowling. Cut that out.
That's a No, we need that in there. This is the theme song for this knife. And unlike the first one, it's very like simple purpose is to cut the herbs, and it's actually sharper than the other one, and it's made of copper. So this is used to cut herbs and some other
cutting
tools.
Herbs and cutting necks if you break in.
Yes. That's another purpose. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No.
Watch out. I listen to true crime.
So some other tools are a paten, which is an altar paten. It's a plate or disc that is metal or wood with a pentagram design. It's used on the altar to hold all the tools used for a ceremony. And a few other tools. I didn't really go in depth with these, but they're just more self-explanatory. Are candles, chalices, incense, sage, bells, a book, and books, which could be the Book of Shadows or any spell book. So those are kind of just, I mean, there's so many. Honestly, this article had like pages more of just other tools that are used, but I just pointed out a few because it's very extensive. So please go check it out if you're interested in learning about more of the tools. But next, I kind of wanted to talk about the actual ritual, the Wiccan ritual preparation. And there was a lot on the actual, you know, examples of rituals, but those are just, you know, very in-depth and specific. So I just kind of talked about the preparation for rituals. And this is sort of a basic example. And there are many other traditions and rituals that have different variances. There's no right way of performing a ceremony. They all kind of have their own, and it's very different. So this is just kind of like a general basic example of a preparation. So first, usually the air is purified to get rid of unwanted energy or forces, and this includes burning sage, incense, or using a broom to sweep the area. So it's just kind of purifying the room or wherever you are performing it, and getting rid of those bad forces before you begin. Next is setting up the altar. So on the east side of the circle, they typically set up candles there, the salt and water for purification and incense, and then quarter candles are placed at each corner of the circle. And then once that's all ready, the casting of the sacred circle is done, and the sacred circle is actually the spot without place or time. So super deep. Spot without place or time. Yes. And the circle is cast by marking its edges with a tame knife and other tools such as a staff or sword or wand. Which another thing, we just need to get wands also.
Yep. Gonna need that.
Wands, swords. I just want everything, honestly. So
I need all of it.
We want it all. So once that's all done, the salt and water mixture is stirred with the a tame knife, and it's sprinkled around the perimeter of the circle for purification, and then more incense are lit and carried around the circle. And then comes the calling the quarters, which are the spirits of earth, fire, water, and air. And they're basically, you know, just each one is called by the witches. And then invoking the deity happens after that, and this is where different deities are called, and they can be gods, goddesses, or both, depending on what the ritual is or what the coven actually believes in or what they practice. And this is very essential to be able to perform the magic or the ritual, just calling upon these deities, and basically, they are called upon by reciting invocations related to the specific ritual that is being practiced. And now, towards the end, after the preparation is complete, then the chosen ritual that is going to be carried out is carried out, and at the end of it, the circle is closed, and the ritual is done. So,
And do you know if... I've been thinking this whole time while you're saying that, like, do you have to, like, what level do you have to be to do something like that?
Like, what level witch?
Yeah, like...
I mean...
Like, our beginner witches just out here doing, like, all of that?
I think it's... I mean, I'm not, like, don't quote me on this. Obviously, like I said, this is this which world of witchcraft is so extensive. Like, there's so many different ways of doing things. But from what I interpreted it as, once you, you know, go through the stages and become a full-fledged witch, you're kind of just pulled into that world. And maybe if you're, like, a beginner, you're kind of either observing or a part of it, but someone's, like, helping you or, like, walking you through it. But okay. From my understanding, like, new witches are able to practice these rituals right off the bat, like, right after they are officially a witch.
Yeah.
So
I'm literally just gonna like watch YouTube videos of this now because I'm so interested. It sounds so cool.
It was just, yeah, it was very cool just reading about this preparation, and I just want to learn about different ones too, because I know, like I said, this is like a basic one, and I can't even imagine how many, depending on what rituals are happening, like how many different ways that, that witches can prepare for it, depending, and all the different tools that are used. So I think that's so cool to think about, and I definitely want to research more. Yeah. So that's kind of the end of like my first main section, which was just focusing on Wiccan practices and kind of like the overall, just like the rituals that, you know, preparation of rituals, the tools that they use, and kind of just like general facts about them. So
right.
But like I said, I would love to dive into other types of witchcraft and how they are used in the modern world, because I think that'd be so cool. So hopefully future episodes we'll be doing that, which will be exciting. But next, my next section, my last section, I just wanted to, on a more like kind of like fun note, talk about some stereotypes and myths that are debunked, and I just thought it'd be kind of cool and also educational to discuss some common stereotypes and myths that surround witchcraft and how they have sort of built up a false depiction of what a witch really is, and some of them that are frequently seen in pop culture and everyday life. So I, at first, you know, I was just kind of researching, you know, what these myths are, but then I found these really cool articles where the modern witches actually are the ones debunking them, which I thought was so cool to see their perspective and like what they're saying about it.
That is really cool.
Yeah. So I thought that'd be a lot more entertaining. So this,
get it straight from the source.
Yes. Get it straight from the source. Also, just reading these made me want to join covens, because it just seemed like they're all part of these covens, and there was like a picture on one of the articles of like all the girls, and they were all like all together posing, and they had these cool like witchy clothes on. I'm like,
I need to be a part of it.
I know, that'd be so fun. We definitely do, we should really talk about this and make it happen, because I'm ready.
I'll be doing some research tonight, I guess.
Yes, same. So this first article is, just one witch, and she debunks some common myths about witchcraft, and the first one being witches are not real. Most people have a picture of what a witch is based on pop culture, but witches are just normal looking. Like I said before, it can be anyone and look like anyone, any gender, sexual orientation, like race, ethnicity, like no matter what, like you, it can, like a witch can be anyone, honestly. So, a witch is simply someone who is aware of their own power and puts that power into action. So that was the first sort of myth, which, I mean, honestly, not trying to judge anyone, but anyone that says witches aren't real are, I cannot associate with you.
Well, and you're also like, I mean, not to take it here, but I will, because I always do, like, if you're saying witches aren't real, you're basically like invalidating people's beliefs and someone's whole, and like to take it back to voodoo and hoodoo, like these are ancient traditions, mm-hmm. and cultures that have been carried out for so long.
Exactly.
And it's insane that it's even alive today. It's insane that, I mean, these like hoodoo and voodoo had to be practiced in secret,
mm-hmm.
with slaves. Like, they had to sneak out and risk their lives to practice it, and it's insane that it's still like relevant and be able to be practiced today. So like,
yeah,
f off if you're saying, like, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter what you believe.
It's like, not, yeah, it's just, not your world. Like, you don't have the authority to say it if you're not, that's not,
and the, just like you said, it's not some like lady riding a broom,
yeah, or like it with a, in a black, with a black dress and a hat,
no,
and like a cat, like it's, yeah, a witch can be anyone, like, just there's no picture of what a witch is. It's, it just, it's endless, and it could be anyone. All right, and the next one is that you need a lot of training. And like I said before, I mean, there, for certain types of witchcraft, there are some training you have to go through, but it's not like I think a lot of people that are on the outside are like, oh my god, you have to like go through all these hoops and you don't really need to pass any sort of test, and most spells can be easily performed by just setting intention, harnessing the energy, and conducting a ritual. And it could be really simple, like just lighting candles or meditating, and depending on what type of witchcraft you're practicing, it can be something as simple as that. So I think a lot of people are intimidated when they hear about it, but really you kind of make it what you want, unless you're part of a specific part of witchcraft, like a hoodoo or voodoo, where there's a lot, it's a lot more than just joining, because you can't really just join that. But
yeah,
with a lot of it, you can, like a lot of other practices or types of practices. So yeah, that was interesting. Another one is practicing witchcraft is expensive. There are a lot of products and tools out there, but ultimately all you really need is yourself. And a lot of the tools that you would need can be found within, you know, your home, or you probably already have them, like with spices, brooms, and plants and herbs and stuff like that. Which I thought, I'd never even thought about that. Like a lot of the stuff that you have in your house already could be used for different rituals and stuff.
I watched a video of this woman who is like a practicing witch in California, and she's very lucky and affluent, and she like teaches other witches how to manifest their dream life, because she manifested her dream life. Like she gets, she like lives out in California on this huge piece of land out in like the desert, and her whole house is decorated with like big pieces of like driftwood that she'll find, and
that's so cool.
animal skulls that she'll like cleanse the energy and keep them in her house, like just that she like finds out in nature. And a lot of it isn't stuff that she buys, it's just stuff that she's finding when she's out in nature.
Yeah, so I think that's cool. I mean, people obviously drop a lot of money on like fancy stuff, but you don't have to, which it's reassuring for a lot of people.
Are fun things you can buy. Like Emma and I are so in love with tarot cards and crystals, and I don't really know anything about crystals. I don't know if I believe in them, because I literally haven't done any research on them, but I just like them because they're pretty, and like I think there's something to that though. Like I think there's something cool to witchcraft, and just the idea of like finding power in something, or finding like enjoyment out of something just because it's like nice and pretty and you're connecting to it on some level.
Yes, and, no, I agree.
And if you're following like the witch like sense of it, maybe you're connecting to it because like maybe, yeah, you think it's pretty, but maybe you actually need it and you don't even know it. I don't know. I love all of that. Like I love that you can have really fun with it and like get really fun products if you want to, but you can also totally do it for free just by going out and making your own stuff.
No, definitely. Okay, so a few more here are: all witches are female. Like I said before, magic is genderless, and there's a rich history, like I said, of females in witchcraft, but it can be practiced by anyone. Your ancestors have to have been witches for you to be one. This goes along with like more excluding some practices, but a lot of them, anyone could be a witch or hold the power to perform witchcraft no matter their lineage. Another one is hexes are not real. And within the Wicca realm, there is this rule of threes where if you use magic with ill purpose or intent, it will come back to you three times with the ill intent turned onto you. And it's sort of like the work with the universe, not against it. So there are definitely hexes, or there's the power for negativity out there. It's definitely possible. And also with black magic and white magic, good and evil magic and witches. And I mean, for the base of it, there's a lot of racist undertones with that, but also it goes back to saying we all have a good and bad side. There's not like a specific like black magic and white magic. I mean, everyone has capacity to be, you know, do evil deeds and whatnot. So
it's based. Well, and of course the racist undertones come from the fact that it's like, generally speaking, hoodoo and voodoo are the black magic that people talk about, which is both literal and figurative, because it's generally practiced by African Americans. It's not even like secretively racist. So it's not, nothing is, and it all just goes back to like the fear-based nature of it. So it's like, There's no such thing. It's just, it's harnessing all the same energy. It's just what you do with it.
Exactly. That is basically what it is. It's, you know, going into these rituals or whatever your practices, and you're just harnessing that good side and outweighing all the negatives. And it's all about balance. And it's not like there's not one specific, like black magic is bad. Like I said, white magic is good. And it's not like a specific group of group of people are within that realm. Like going back to the racist
undertones and you have of that. So free will.
Yes.
Yeah, you have free will, so you can choose to do evil things with.
Yeah, exactly. and then a few last ones. I didn't really go in depth with these, but they're kind of self-explanatory. I mentioned this one above as well, but you have to join a coven to be a witch. But like I said before, you can practice it alone as a solitaire, and then your witchcraft should be Instagram ready, which this is more for modern times. I think, you know, with social media, it's a huge aspect, and it's very cool. Like, you know, Jordan and I love, you know, exploring things on Instagram and just out there on social media, but I think a lot of people are, that's another thing that gets people intimidated, because they think they have to have built up this whole sort of, like, aesthetic and everything, and you really don't have to be Instagram ready, like quote unquote Instagram ready. It's all about just exploring it and doing what you want with it. And I mean, some people are, that's their knack, and they're like for the social media, and I think that's wonderful, but that's not for everyone. And I don't think that, you know, when you get into witchcraft, it has to be that social aspect. You don't have to make it, you know, available for everyone to see if you don't want to. So
right. And that goes along with, like, yeah, a bunch of sticks or rocks that you get out in the woods might not, like, look the best on a camera, but it could be really, like, meaningful and hold a lot of energy and importance for you, mm-hmm. for your, like, practice.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to look nice for it to be meaningful.
Exactly. All right, so I know I'm kind of rambling on here, but I have this one last article I had, my last little piece. And it's another one with modern witches, and this one kind of focused more on the holiday of Halloween with witchcraft and some stereotypes and myths around that. So I just have a few points here, but with Halloween, it sort of brings out various stereotypes surrounding witches and witchcraft as well, and it kind of gives a picture that is insanely inaccurate. I think that it is also giving people a false picture, and which has been carried through many generations, because, you know, like, when Halloween comes around, there's, like, the decorations and costumes, and I think that gives people, like, such a warped picture, and, you know, those who don't understand the reality of witchcraft kind of turn to these stereotypes without even considering the alternative. And I kind of wrote a note here, like, I don't know if it's, like, fear of the unknown, or maybe just, you know, they're just blindly following what the media puts out there. Or, I mean, maybe not even voluntarily. I'm not blaming people, but not blaming everyone, I should say. But I think, you know, once, like, the media has built up the sort of picture of what something is, it's very easy to follow that, because it's just right there for you, you know.
Right.
So some things that were discussed in the article were offensive costumes, depictions that witches are ugly or hypersexualized. They're sort of, like, on different poles. Like, it was either witches are really ugly or, like, just really, like, this hypersexualized woman. And Halloween also being the only time for witchcraft. And also the classic black cats are evil and bad luck, which is far from the truth. So just a lot of stereotypes surrounding that come about with Halloween, which is sad because, you know, I've always loved Halloween, and it's interesting to look back on that and just think, yes, like, I can't believe, you know, growing up, that's what, you know, thinking of witches and black cats, like, that's all just built in your mind, and you carry that with you because it's...
Yeah, it's really funny. I actually looked at this because you always hear, or at least I had friends growing up, like... not like close friends, but like I had acquaintances growing up that literally were not allowed to practice, like to go trick-or-treating or like do anything for Halloween because they were super religious.
Yeah.
And Halloween is a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
Even though I looked it up and I've done like I found a lot of research on it too when I was doing my Celtic research, and like it's just this weird, like, it was basically just a fun little, like, fall, like, celebration where they would dress up in animal, like, animal hides were their costumes, mm-hmm. and I think it was said that, like, they did it to, like, disguise themselves against ghosts or something. Like,
interesting.
It was this goofy thing.
Yeah.
And then they just had, like, a lot of food and made, like, lanterns out of gourds, which is, like, why we have pumpkins,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, like, all they were doing was having a good time. Like,
just living it up.
Even if it is a pagan holiday, I don't understand why that's bad.
I know. That's, yeah.
They were just having a good time.
That's the thing.
I don't know.
It's very, yeah, I don't know either. It just, you know, what people are, they're desensitized to certain things. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just from movies, just like everything. Yeah. It's just like the evil witch and the, all of the demons and ghosts coming to Earth on Halloween.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, so that kind of, that's all I had. And like I said, I kind of like took a different path with my original like intent, but I kind of was happy with what I found, so it was interesting to just read these articles.
I thought it was great. No, I thought it was really interesting.
So that is witchcraft. What a fun topic this has been.
This was fun. Like we said, it was a little overwhelming to like choose what we were going to talk about, but in the end I think it came out really well. And, like, our topics went together really well without us even, like, trying.
I feel like we always do that. It's so perfect.
We do. We're just on the same level.
Yay! But we definitely will be doing more. Stay tuned. We'll be announcing in our upcoming episodes. We're going to dive into some other topics within the witchy realm. So,
yes, we will probably be on our, like, witchcraft series for quite a while.
Join this. Come along and join this. Crazy
we
ride.
Think we're gonna do an episode on manifestation. We're gonna do an episode on spell jars. We're gonna do an episode on
potions.
I don't know.
Potions.
Ah, so many things.
It's gonna be great.
We want to talk to witches, so if you're a witch and you're listening, hit us
reach
up.
Out. But yeah, I think next week though, we were talking about our plan. We would love to do a sort of listener episode story episode and hear from you guys all your crazy stories. So we would just love, I mean, and honestly it can be anything, and it doesn't even have to be your story. Like it could be, you know, a family member, a friend, and if you want to be anonymous, like we can omit names or do whatever. We just want to hear all your crazy stories and do a sort of special
Emma and
episode.
I already have some family member and friends lined up that we know are going to share some stories. We in the future have hopes to kind of, you know, make our story episodes obviously like line up with like the actual theme of the episodes. Mm-hmm. But we know that with witchcraft, it's going to be difficult. Apart from actually just getting witches on to interview. And we want that to be a completely separate thing.
Yes.
And really give them their own episode. So we don't care if it's not about witches.
Yeah,
just
send us anything.
Share the crazy things that have happened to you. If it's unexplained and mystical and just crazy.
We want to hear it.
We want to hear it. You Please. Know we won't judge you. Just don't send us
Never.
Anything fake. You can DM us on Instagram. We're at Witches Brew Pod with two V's.
Two V's.
We also have a Witches Brew Pod with two V's at gmail.com email you can send us. And if you want to be on the podcast, we would love to have people tell their stories on it. So come and join us on the Witches Brew Podcast.
Please do. Just look for updates like on our website, witchesbrew.com. We have some crazy, amazing stuff going on there. Just to keep you updated with all our current episodes and blog posts. So we would love for you to take a little gander over there.
But we're always sharing some fun witchy content apart from the pod. So it's a good time.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else. This has just been so fun.
I think that's it. I think that's it for our witchy episode. We will be back next week with our stories. Hopefully some of you guys are a part of it, and we're just so excited to hear some of your stories.
We are, and thank you again to all our wonderful listeners, and please tell all your friends to check us out and like and subscribe the podcast and write and review us, because we love
subscribe
it. All the
refer
above.
Everything, please.
Do some spells, I don't know, to get people to listen. Whatever.
Yes.
But
we just want to share our stories. All right. Well, yay. It's been so good talking to you guys. It's been so talking to you, Emma.
Yes, you too, girl. We will
talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.